Before we go into the message, we have a kind of an intro to the message this morning. And is this on, brother? Can you hear me through this all right? Okay. I'd like to be reminded that we thank the Lord already and do every year for those who serve in our service, men and women, that leave their home, their families, and go to the foreign field. This is a time of memory, though, on Memorial Day. And I was thinking about some things to do, and Sister Kay helped me with this this past week. And so we'd like to go this route this morning. I'd like to read to you, just for a few seconds, as we pause today to recognize the great sacrifice paid by all soldiers from each branch of the armed forces. We also want to recognize the prisoners of war who were captured by enemy soldiers during the time of war and those missing in action who may have been taken prisoner but have never been accounted for. Since World War I, more than 200,000 Americans have been listed as POWs or MIAs. Less than half of them were returned at the end of the hostilities, leaving more than 125,000 American servicemen and women missing in action since the beginning of World War I. During the 14 years of American involvement in Southeast Asia, and specifically the Vietnam War, more than 2,500 Americans were captured or listed as MIAs. In 1971, the POW MIA flag was created by the National League of Families. This is the flag that you see here at this time. It's recognized by Congress in conjunction with the Vietnam War POW MIA issue. The flag is black and bears in the center, in black and white, the emblem of the League, which features a white disc bearing in black the bust of a man, a watchtower with a guard on patrol, and a strand of barbed wire across the disc are the white letters POW and MIA, framing a white five-point star. Below the disc is a black and white wreath above the white motto, "You are not forgotten." On August the 10th, 1990, the 101st Congress passed a law, U.S. Public Law 101-355, recognizing the POW and MIA flag, and designated it as a symbol of our nation's concern and commitment to resolving as fully as possible the fates of Americans still prisoner, missing, or unaccounted for in Southeast Asia, thus ending the uncertainty for their families and the nation. Beyond Southeast Asia, it has been a symbol of the POW and MIAs from all American wars. To all servicemen and women who in the line of duty were killed, wounded, or listed as POWs or as MIAs, and to the families of these soldiers, we here at Fellowship Baptist Church today echo the words that's on this flag, "You are not forgotten." We at Fellowship Baptist Church do not know the names of these that have given their life for our country, but we thank you and honor you today for giving your all for our freedom. Today we remember you. You are not forgotten. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for in this nation. And yet there is a undercurrent today to destroy what many have fought and gave their lives for. We thank thee that we know that our nation was just like Israel, raised by God. We thank thee for our forefathers who wrote in every document we have just about what they thought about you and how you were in the center of their thinking. Even those who might not have believed in you as much as others came in line because they understood there was a higher power. They might have not known who he was, but they knew that he was alive. And we know today there's a big rush to try to change the very foundation this country is founded on, and for what these are comrades and women and men in the service have given their lives for the freedom that we have today. We will not take this lightly, that we can stand here and worship you in freedom of choice today, and we realize that these men and women who gave their life, gave their all, did that we might have this privilege. I pray today, Lord, that you would bless families who have lost loved ones in war. I pray you'd be near to them, and though they may be many miles away from us, thank God that we can in prayer come together. And I pray somehow or another there'd be comfort and they would understand as they look at not those who try to tear down our nation, but those who try to build it up, that we as American people thank thee and want to thank them for what they gave and their families for our freedom. And this day we ask that you bless every individual. We may not know their name, but you do. And our Father, we pray somehow or another the throne of God would issue out what is needed towards this planet Earth for those who gave their life for the freedom we have today. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Tim. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. We've got to move on. I may be a few minutes over, but I'm not. This was important, as far as I'm concerned, as important as anything we could do in our life. Psalms 33, read with me down about verse 12 through 15. And the Bible says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh upon heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their heart alike. He considers all thy works." And then if you look in Psalms 19 and verse 17, or chapter 9, verse 17, David said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." I want to speak to you a few minutes this morning on note what God has done for America. What God has done for America. What do you think as you think of the word Memorial Day today? What comes to your mind when you think of this word Memorial Day that our nation sets aside every year to celebrate? In most churches, Memorial Day is ignored because it's not one of the holy days of the church on the church calendar. But it ought to be very important when it comes around, because we sit here today and have freedom because of what people have done for us. And that all this is to remember those things of the past that allowed us to come to where we are today. The very name memorial itself is to remember. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about Christians, the world looks at us as being, you know, kind of odd. But we recognize and we say to this world unafraid, we are Christian first and then we're American second. Right. Now there's a reason for that. Our country understood that in years past. This is why we put the American flag on our podium on your left and on my right, and the Christian flag on your right and on my left. We are Christian first. Amen. But being a Christian makes us and informs us, and God instructs us that we are to be good citizens of our country. And America is our country. Therefore, we try our best to be good citizens within that which we can. We will be good citizens, God instructs us to be, when it comes to our land and what they say, until they tell us to disobey God. Once our country begins to tell us to disobey God in any form of fashion, God must be first. Amen. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, we have a Bible to prove, if we need to have that documented, what God wants us to do. But you and I who obey God will be good citizens in America if we be what we should be. And therefore, we want to be thankful for this country. We're Christian beyond before we are anything else in this world. And with the child of God, everything is second except God. He's first. And when I say that, there are those who would take that and run with it and say, that's why we know. You're river houses, you're this, you're that. No, I'll tell you, a child of God will be one of the best citizens this country has ever had. Because not only we serve God, he's told us what to do when it comes to our country, but he's told us how we're to be submitted to it. He's told us that there's things we need to do. He's told us he gives countries, nations up, and rulers up for protection of people, but he's also warned us all through this Bible, we have the right to follow him only, and when nation and God comes in conflict with each other, the true child of God will have to follow this book rather than what the nation says to follow. That's what it's always been, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where it's got to be until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. And then we will follow him like we should follow him at that particular time. The ability to remember is a wonderful gift that God has given us in this land. In a flash, we can think of things back in childhood day. In a flash, you can go back anywhere in your time to a childhood day. You can go back to the time when you're playing ball as a young boy on a field somewhere or another, or maybe in high school somewhere or another. In your mind, even though you be up in age, you can still flash back and have those good remembering days of those things that happened in the past. You enjoy your life from years ago, even when hanging out with friends, who your best friend was, what's happened to them. I think this in the last few weeks, some of my best friend that I had, two of the best ones I had, have gone on now in eternity. They've already passed out from this particular life. I mean, can you imagine what it's like when you think that you had no memory at all? I mean, when you and I think of memory, you know, it literally becomes possible through memory to go back and relive days and days to pass. Some of our memories are sad. Some of them causes us to weep. Some of them are joyful to our heart, and therefore when we think about it, it brings joy to us in very adverse circumstances of life. Memories are very practical. Can you just think with me just a moment this morning? If you didn't have memory, you wouldn't know what to do on the stoplight when you leave from here that said red or green. If you didn't remember what red was or what green was, you'd be in trouble. Amen? Just a simple thing like that. When you think about memory, what about birthdays? Trouble, you couldn't remember when your birthday was. No one could ever say happy birthday to you. Suppose you didn't remember when your wife's birthday was. That's trouble. Anniversaries. Suppose you couldn't remember at all what an anniversary was or when your anniversary was. You see, memory is very practical. Sometimes our memories fail. We forget. I think one of the most terrible things of the day is seeing someone look real healthy and have Alzheimer's disease. I mean, can't remember who their mate was, been married 50 years or more, and look at a person across the table, cannot even remember who their wife or their husband or who their children was. And yet, God has blessed us with a great memory. Sometimes our memory fails. I read a little joke this past week that said there's a fellow by the name of John. He had a bad memory, and he and his wife went and took a seminar about 3 or 4 months. And after the seminar was over, he thought he really had learned how to remember things in life. And he was talking to a friend of his called Bill. And he said to him one day, he said, Bill, he said, I want you to know I have regained my memory. I took a seminar, and I'm going to tell you, it has helped me so much. And Bill said to him something like, John, he said, what was the name of that seminar? He said, I don't know. Wait just a minute. Let me ask my wife. He turned to ask his wife, and he turned back around to John again and said, hey, John, he said, could you tell me what that flower was that has the thorns on it and, you know, and has a long stem on it and has those little red blooms on the front, on the top of it? He said, yeah, that's Rose. He said, thank you. He said, hey, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we just went to? Sometimes we forget. And by the way, the older you get, the more you're going to forget. You're going to wonder why you do things. I used to laugh at people to tell me what happened when they get old. They'd be doing something, doing this, and they know what to do. I don't laugh no more. I don't laugh no more. Because I do things sometimes I wonder, why in the world I do that? I look at some of you and know you say the same thing. I mean, it's very practical, isn't it? We sometimes tend to forget and need help to jog our memories. God has given us many reminders in His Word, though. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean this from the depth of my soul, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. We must never forget what God has done for our country, America. We must not forget what He's done in the past. We must understand what He's doing in the present. And we must understand what He said about the future is going to happen just as much so as anything in the past has happened. So let's look at just three things then. First of all, what has God done for America? First of all, God birthed this nation. He birthed this nation. No doubt about that. We sing, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. God Almighty brought this nation to existence. People fled. The bulk of this nation started from people fleeing from other countries that had denied them the right to worship God like they should worship. In Jamestown, Virginia, the first community building was a church. And they tell me that's the only community building with walls still standing. The Puritan first made an act first act of Plymouth Rock was to kneel down to pray and to praise God and dedicate the new colony to God. When you read the writings of Roger Williams and Lord Baltimore and William Penn, you see what God did in birthing this nation and how they incorporated him. They didn't just attach him to it. They didn't make a big document, didn't attach him to it. God is all in everything in those documents. Right. He's mentioned over and over and over again. 12, our founding fathers consisted, spoke of the need for utilizing the Bible and the Judeo-Christian values in defining and preserving this wonderful nation of ours. 12 of the 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. Our laws are based upon the Ten Commandments and the Holy Bible. The Supreme Court building is built in 1935. They carved out on the front of that court building Moses and the Ten Commandments. Across the speaker's seat of the House of Representatives, I am told, is a sculpture of Moses right in the House of Representatives. George Washington said in his day, it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. In 1782, the U.S. Congress voted in favor of a resolution recommending and approving the Bible for use to be read in the public schools. In 1960, we threw it out. Not we didn't, but they did. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed America. Our Constitution ends in the year of our Lord. Isn't it an amazing thing? Everything that's documented in those days ended in the year of our Lord. There's only one way you can read that from a biblical concept. Who is our Lord? God and the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Our nation's motto is "In God We Trust." We pledge allegiance to a flag, one nation under God. I say to you, God has blessed this country. And yet most history books written by humanists today keep the true facts about American history out of their textbook about God's protection and about God's direction and preservation. They don't put it in there now. They're trying their best to disrupt the roots of this country and make it sound like it was just something that happened. This country didn't happen any more than Israel happened. I'm talking about what God has done for America. In 1776, British Commander William Howe moved 30,000 veteran British soldiers to take New York City. General Washington only had 18,000 inexperienced troops. Washington's troops lost 1,000 men and two generals. And then they looked like they're defeated. May I read you a document? It says British troops outflanked Washington. Washington lost 1,000 men and two top generals. Washington's troops was discouraged. Without any reason, British halted their troops. Had they kept on pressing in, they would have destroyed Washington and his troops. Yet, for some reason, they stopped. Yet still, Washington's troops were trapped on Long Island. Only a route of escape was treacherous, the East River. Weather was so bad and seemed impossible to cross. Washington called for a prayer meeting to ask God for guidance and help. They decided at that prayer meeting to attempt to cross the river. The storm was high. Then suddenly at 11 p.m., winds died down and rain stopped. River was as smooth as glass. They started across and a gentle breeze came up behind them to push them even along. Even with this miracle, it still would be impossible to get troops across Manhattan Island before daybreak. Just before daybreak, a thick fog draped over them and hid them from the British troops. When the fog lifted, British commanders Howe was shocked. They don't see how he escaped. Washington's troop had escaped. Washington's men recognized God's blessing on America. That's what God has done for our country. I'll tell you, every battle we've ever had where less men got killed, God was in it. His hand was protecting our people. He knows that our country has been more. We're the only country in the world that if you fight us, we'll go in and tear you all to pieces and then help rebuild yourself. You won't find another country do that. You find a communist country, they won't do that. But the U.S. America, our country does just that. We thank God for what He has done here. We must not take our freedom for granted today, ladies and gentlemen. We have it so easy. We're so much involved with politics and things that sometimes we forget what it's cost some for us to be sitting here today. Even today, there were more killed in crimes here in the United States than was killed in the Operation Iraq Freedom of War we just went through. What God has done for America God has blessed this country and give us the great opportunity to have the freedom to worship Him. Number two, what God is doing for America right now. God sees just how far we've come from the birth of our country in 1776, almost 236 years. God sees that. The FBI prints a grim picture for our country in the last few years. A murder every 24 minutes. Forcible rape every 7 minutes. Robbery every 68 seconds. Aggravated assault every 51 seconds. A violent crime every 27 seconds. That's right here in this good old USA. This means that a major crime is committed in this country every 3 seconds in America. Do you think God doesn't see that? Does it look like we're having revival? I'm sorry. I'll tell you, we have a lot of religious assemblies, but we're not having revival. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have revival, the hearts change. Communities change. The house of God will be full. They won't be just hit and miss from time to time and just come here. When you have revival, hearts change. And without hearts being changed, there is no revival. See, God deals with the heart, and that in turn deals with the community and moves out from there. What God is doing right now. This means that we're seeing things happen within that's just as bad as a war sometimes. We have more corruption and hypocrisy in government and churches than ever. Someone said, well, what is God? Where is God in all of this? Ladies and gentlemen, He's right where He's always been. God's right where He was when He started this country. God's right where He was when Washington prayed to Him. God's right where He was, ladies and gentlemen, when the first pilgrims came over here. He has not changed. And He put in the hearts of people in those early years. But you see what happens, we get bigger and have more come in, and so much religious activity in our country today. Everything is changing to the place that God can't even be seen. Oh, He's G-O-D in name, but not in reality. There's a difference in reality and in name. Jesus declared one day when He was here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. In John 14, verse 6. This statement is also true in our world today. This statement is just as true today as it was when Jesus said it in the first century in John 14, verse 6. He's still the way, the truth, and the life. When it comes to eternal life, this statement is true in our world today. I have you to know Confucius is dead. I have you to know Muhammad is dead. I have you to know any other religious leader that's ever lived is dead. But I've got news for you this morning, praise God. Jesus Christ came forth from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, you and I have freedom. And that's the God this world had better trust in if they ever expect to see Him and live with Him forever. Amen. What God is doing for America now. Jesus is not only the way. Jesus claimed victory over sin, hell, death, hell, and the grave. He said He was the truth. Our belief does not create truth. Just because I believe something, you believe something, don't create truth. But when He said He's the truth, you can mark it down. That's exactly right. Truth is true whether we believe it or not. And one must check out his belief and see that it is true. Where do you check it out? We only have one source of information, and that's the Holy Bible. I must check my belief in this Bible to be sure that it's true. Not only that, He said, I'm the way, the truth. He said, I'm the life. Jesus is the life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, He said, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. People are lost today. Why? Because they will not come by the way, who is Jesus Christ. People are lost today because they will not come through the truth, which is Jesus Christ. People are lost today because they're living a real life. They're not living a real life because they will not trust Jesus Christ. So what's happened? They're existing, but they're not living a real life. The real life will be embodiment in Jesus Christ. He's everything, folks, or we don't have anything. Amen. You say, well, wait a minute, don't tell me I have more than you have. That makes no difference. This world tells us that as Christians. What we have, blessed here. God has said when He's first, this is not only it. You see blessings here, but when you get to heaven, you're going to realize blessings there are measured different than they are here. Because blessings there are measured by the absolute perfect standard of God. And here's measured by man, and we're a little fickle sometimes when we do that. So people are lost because they just don't know the way, the truth, and the life. They're just existing. America, listen, is the place where everyone has the privilege to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and trust Him without fearing anything in this world. What is God doing for America right now? Just as much, He has arranged it where everyone in this nation has the right and not fear anything to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Right now, it's that way. That's what He's doing for America right now. So we see, what has He done for America in the past? He has blessed this country to the place that we have freedom to worship Him. What is He doing right now? He's blessed this country that we have the privilege, every one of us, to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, what is God going to do to America in the future? Romans 4, verse 12 says that, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In Psalms 9, verse 17, and I say to you that America fits this as much so as any other nation if they turn their back on God. And God said to David, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations, plural, all the nations, sit with me, all the nations, notice that he says that, forget God. It is a name that the world must know in reality and not just a name. When David said, he's not saying that people say, yeah, we believe in God, and touch God, every God you can think of. Someone says, well, I believe in all of them, so if I miss one, I'm bound to hit them right, one of them right. You better look and find the right one. Because you find out, hey, all these other religions are going to be like Moses standing before Pharaoh that day. Moses threw his rod down, it came a snake. All those others did the same, but Moses' rod ate the snake, sir. That's who I'm going to follow, aren't you? I mean, you may have power, and I don't have power, but I tell you, the one I'm trusting has got power, and when he ends up, his power is going to be dominant. Going to be dominant. So I'm saying to you, God, what God has done for America? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. He's not talking about believing God. So hey, look at it. Everybody believes in God, not in name. God's more than a name, folks. God's more than a name. I can write a name on this piece of paper. It has no power whatsoever. I can say I believe in a God that's not the true God. It has no power whatsoever. But the name God is a reality of who He really is. And by the way, He don't let us decide who He is. He tells us who He is, and we believe either what He says or don't believe it. That's the difference between truth and that which is false. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The warning is there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And I say, and I'm glad I can stand here this morning. I thank God, I can thank God for what's happened in the past. I can thank God for those who've died. And I can't imagine what it's like that some of these 125,000 or so have never been closed as of yet. They've never been found, missing in action. Somewhere on the war, on a foreign field, they've lived their lives, and their parents, their family never did receive them back and know what happened to them exactly. Just they're missing in action. They were POWs or something, but they're missing in action. I can't imagine what that would be like. I just wonder by chance if there's someone here today and you had someone in your family who was killed in a war and you'd like to recognize them just for a minute before we close. Is there one here you'd like to say, I had a dad, a mother, a uncle, or somebody? Tell us who it is so we remember who that is. Brother Stan, tell us who it is.
My oldest brother was killed in Korea.
Your oldest brother? In Vietnam. In Vietnam. Oh, thank you, brother. Someone else. Yes, sister. Amen, sister, brother. That's right. I remember that. I remember having that funeral here. Gave his life. I remember when first, a few years ago, my wife and I came through Washington. We stopped and went to the Vietnam Memorial and found his name and wrote his name on a, shaded out on a piece of paper. And I think we still have that name now, that he was in our church that time. Your mother was in our church at that time when he died on the field. That's amazing, Brother G.V.
I had a first cousin that died in Germany.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? You know someone personally that's died in a war. Yes, brother.
My best friend, Sammy Ray Harrison, was killed in Vietnam, and his daddy was in the Korean War. He told me about it.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Someone else? Just like to see, you know a friend, someone's in your family that have got killed in a war? It could be, even Iraq War or anyone else? Yes.
I had an uncle, Joe, who I never got the pleasure to meet because he died in World War II.
In World War II.
Went down in a plane that never found him.
Amen. Harry, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 5, I think, 4 or 5 in our church this morning who literally had loved ones to die or friends to die in one of the wars. I say to you this morning, they gave their life that we'd have the freedom we have right now. I served 6 years myself in the service. Didn't have to go to war. Well, I thought I was going to have to go to Vietnam. But it happened so I was going into the chaplain. And as I got clear to go to the chaplain, I went to one of the meetings in Kinston, North Carolina. And you heard me tell the story. And I got there. I was so upset what I saw, the drinking and the smoking. And it looked more like a bar than a meeting somewhere or another. And so I came back to my captain and told him I was not going to do that. I was going to go a different route. And because my time was up, I was able to get out. But our unit didn't go. A battalion in Kentucky went. The reason we didn't go is because we were in aircraft, and it just switches to infantry, and we were training in infantry at that time. And they called us to go, but they didn't think we had enough training to go, so a division, not a battalion, but a division in Kentucky went. Would you stand to your feet? These people have done things in the service, give their all. This can be your day of liberation through Jesus Christ. Or it can be your day of rejection of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? God, I thought sometimes, and just get by yourself and close your eyes and think. And I thought, I wonder what it's going to be like someday when people stand before God and have so many opportunities to receive Christ, and whatever reason they use, they don't. They reject him. So I ain't really rejecting. Every time you hear him walk away, that's a rejection. That's a rejection. That's a rejection. And one day stand before God, what kind of excuse can you give? There'll be no excuses because the word of God teaches us the law of God will stop our mouths when we try to make excuses of why we didn't do something that God tells us to do. If you're here today, you're not saved. I beg of you, know what God has done through our country, what he is doing. And what he's going to do, he's got enough record to show us that he keeps his word. And God has arranged in this country for us to be right where we are today. So when listen to my voice by the way of radio in a few minutes and by upstream right now, what about you? Have you ever received Christ as your personal Savior? If not, you can. Could this be the day that you would accept him rather than reject him and it change your life? O eternity. Father, I thank you again for the privilege first to be a Christian and then be American who was born in this country that I had the privilege to hear the gospel which allowed me to be a Christian. Lord, we don't boast in ourselves. Jesus is everything. God is everything to us. And we do our best to look to the scriptures and see what was it about Jesus that God said, this is my beloved son, I am well, please hear ye him. And you teach us we can have the mind of Christ as we look in this book. And dear Father, that helps us. Now realize that we have the old nature too. We have always filter things through. But we have that which is able to help us. We have a person. Not a thing, but a person. Help someone see their need today. Help someone see, Lord, any day could be their last breath. Lord, we've seen the last 2 or 3 weeks, people die just all of a sudden like. We had 2 funerals here in 2 weeks' time, our own members. Another family in the church had a family member to die. Lord, it's just, death is real. But until Jesus comes, God is still concerned about human beings. And he raises up churches, even as ours, who really love people. The world condemns us and lambasts us and mocks us, but dear Father, we believe the truth that we have, and we're trying to give it out to others. And this morning we come, we're grateful for the groundwork that you've laid through the years. Lord, please help us as Christians, as people today, to try to keep that groundwork for our children and grandchildren. If not, they're going to have it worse than we have it. Dear God, we're going to be responsible for our age one day. Then they'll be responsible for theirs. But if they don't get something better than what we have now, they're going to find themselves in a trap worse so than ever before. Please help us keep this country headed in your direction. dear Father, looking to you and asking for your help in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.